to tell you, I feel safer here than I do in Tacoma. The only people that are armed here are the military. And America has become a kind of a shooting gallery.
This is a recording on June 30th, 2022, with Tom Bates. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing, Louisa?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. It was a hot day in Ukraine today. We're in Kharkiv. We have been out distributing dog food and some human food as well today. And we were out with a contact I have made, Pavel and Svetlana, who manage a Facebook page that manages the food distribution for animals in the area. They're really doing a really bang up job on it. They keep track of who's getting what food, what kind of dogs they have, and when their next allotment is due to be picked up. They've created quite a network, and they took us out today to some villages that were under Russian control, but now have been demilitarized. And so we were basically in a village that was between the Ukrainian artillery and the front line. And so all day long, the artillery was firing behind us and over us towards the front line. So there was a little bit of noise and sometimes a little bit of concern, but our guide, Pavel, he assured us that we were in no danger. And the villagers just seemed to take it in stride. It was like, you know, it must be whatever day it is of the week. It's Thursday, you know, we're hearing artillery new. However, they did recommend that we park our truck underneath any kind of cover we could find, because there are drones, and the Russians have been known to target anything that looks like distributing humanitarian aid in the area.
Oh, wow. Wow. So, yeah, I have a couple of things that have been on my mind because I've been reading a lot, and it seems like there's been a lot of attacks around Kharkiv.
Yes, there have been. And last night, for example, we heard the air raid sirens go off. And at first, the first one was kind of a false alarm. And then they came on again a little later. And then the missile strikes happened. And they were very loud and powerful enough that I could feel the vibration in the hotel we're staying at. And the Russians have stepped up the attack. On the citizens, on the civilians. They have not been targeting any military installation, any power stations, anything like that. It's just random attacks, and where it lands, who knows?
Well, that puts you in a kind of in the line of fire, it seems.
Well, yeah, everybody else is in the line of fire as well. People are on their business every day. The air raid sirens go off, and they just keep doing what they're doing. They really have been numb to it to a certain extent. But I got to tell you, I feel safer here than I do in Tacoma.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, the only people that are armed here are the military. And America has become a kind of a shooting gallery. And I've been over here now for going on 3 months. And I'm reading about what's happening back in America. And I have to say, it is frightening.
Yeah. Yeah.
That aside, we are in a war zone over here. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And there are casualties. There are victims that aren't going to be going home to their families. And The animals are victims as well. People have been fleeing their homes, leaving the animals behind. Some people are bad actors in that regard, that they don't have the regard for their pets, and they've left them without any resource. And some neighbors generally take over that care, and we go out and rescue those animals as we can and provide them with foods so that they can keep on feeding them.
The other question that's been on my mind is the food availability, because I know that's a big issue as far as, Ukraine producing food. But it sounds like you're bringing in food from Poland and other places.
Yeah, we are. We're bringing in donations that come into Poland. And actually, I've been distancing myself from Poland lately. I've been working primarily out of Lviv and Kyiv. I'm beginning to work with Ukrainians only, as far as procuring the goods. We're trying to support the economy by buying things and our items in Ukraine. And that's one of the things that is going to help Ukraine get by during this war, is by supporting them economically. The other thing is there's plenty of food here in Kharkiv, plenty of food all over Ukraine. It's just that only a certain people have enough money to buy it. There's other people that have nothing, and they are dependent on humanitarian aid reaching them. To be honest, I don't really know what the Ukrainian government is doing as far as feeding the masses, but I can tell you that there are people that will do anything to get the food that they need to exist. And that we have to monitor the pet food we give out, because sometimes people just want to get the pet food. They say they have animals, so they'll take the pet food and they'll sell it or barter it off, which in my view is not a bad thing, but it isn't going to where we intended it. So there is that. So let me tell you something else here. Today we were out distributing the food, and I've been able to have a acquaintance from Tacoma area that's come out and helped me. She's a emergency room trauma nurse that came out here to help us with our missions. And another person that's with us is a UK photojournalist, if you will. He's a wildlife photographer. His name is Nick Tad. And he's also working on this project that is going to help put an end to the bottleneck of the animals moving out of Ukraine. They've got a really great program going that's a concept right now, and they're working towards fruition on that. And it is a program that dovetails right in with Dan Fine's program that he's bringing over here July 10th. They're going to be here doing spay and neuter clinic for the month of July out of Kyiv. And what I'd like to do, Nick's organization is Canine Rescue International. And Nick is here with me now. And I would like to give him an opportunity to tell you what he has been doing over here.
Oh, I'd love that.
Okay, well, I'm going to let Nick have it here. This is Nick Tad, and here you go, Louisa.
Thank
Hello,
you.
Hello, Louisa.
Hi, Nick. So,
how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you holding up there?
Well, a bit like Tommy says, I'm hot. Very hot here.
Yeah.
But other than that, doing okay. It's been an eye-opening day today. And it is an eye-opening day, because on many levels, you think you can imagine what the problems are here. And largely, you'll probably be right. But then there's other things that crop up and you go, well, I've never even thought about that. For example, one of the guys we were talking to today was saying he desperately needs dog food. He does have porridge that he was feeding the dogs with, but he has no gas to cook the porridge on. Mm. And the trouble is, he lights a fire, the Russians see the smoke.
Oh.
And they bomb.
Oh.
So even that's a conundrum now. It's even becoming like he can't even do that because he, like mm-hmm. Tommy says, we're in the middle, we're between the Ukrainian artillery and missiles and the Russian artillery and missiles. So they fly overhead and, of course, can't really put smoke in the way because they know exactly where you are.
Well, God, how disturbing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is. It's terrible. But I have to say, you know, I've been working here since the beginning of the war, mainly out of Poland at the beginning. I was working with an organization called the Ada Foundation in Przemysl in Poland. They're a veterinary clinic. And we were going into Lviv and areas like that and bringing animals out. And obviously taking the food in. And that's where I met Tommy originally. But well, as it's progressed, we started working together on these projects.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest, what we've recognized, that you know, there are basically three problems here that need to be solved. I mean, there are probably a myriad of other ones too. But the main one, the first issues is the sort of the triage of making sure the animals are kept fed. And the humans, but we're focusing on the animals. So that we need to keep the animals fed, which means that we need logistics and we need the food itself. But we can get the food here in Ukraine, as Tommy says, but it needs to be funded. But okay, so we'll do that. The second thing is obviously the existing shelters need to be assisted with because a lot of them have been damaged, very, very damaged. And we went to one a few weeks ago in Kyiv that had been hit 5 times.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and they lost a lot of animals. But they need to be repaired. Because the third problem, and this is largely the one I've been working on, is you've got a lot of animals that are being left behind, as Tommy said earlier on today. Even today, we came across probably more than two, but I remember two today that we came across that had just been, the neighbors have been feeding. One was so big that the neighbor wouldn't even go in there to clean out the kennel because it was that big, he was frightened of it, but he was feeding it. Now, these are small villages on the outskirts of Kharkiv, but if you go into the red zone where the Russians are in now, if that gets released, which let's be optimistic and hopefully it does, there's a big city there. That if that gets released, there's going to be an awful lot of animals there as well that are going to need some assistance and need to be moved. Now, the biggest problem we've got is they're all moving to the west. The animals are going progressively and slowly mm-hmm. towards the west as they get released from the danger zones, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
But they're bottlenecking on the west. And the shelters there are at maximum capacity. And they're overflowing with animals there. And because we cannot get them out of Ukraine anymore because the Polish won't let us out, let them across the border,
mm-hmm.
And the remains they're getting stuck. So, Canine Rescue International, what we want to do is build a shelter and a clinic attached to it on the border of Poland, where we can do what's called the traces vaccines. And the traces vaccines, if you're not familiar with it, I wasn't, to be fair, until I am, and a bit more now. But how you get commercial animals across borders. With some relative impunity because their biosecurity is a lot tighter
mm-hmm.
on commercial animals, cattle than they are on companion animals. So if we do the same thing, then we can start releasing the bottleneck.
Mm.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's Canine Rescue International. That's what we're up to. We're trying to release that bottleneck. But in the meantime, obviously, whilst we're getting that project off the ground, we're still doing the primary project, if you like, of what I'm helping Tommy as best I can do with getting the animals fed, really, and finding the food.
Yeah. Yep. Food and shelter. I mean, you know, it's universal. I mean, it's amazing what you are accomplishing there. And, you know, as always, I always ask, what is it that we can do on this end? I know there's one GoFundMe site. I think that's still being operated by Dan Fine.
Yeah, Dan still has his site up, and actually he has a new project going. It's Ukraine War Animal Relief. Mm-hmm. And that is going to help fund the spay and neuter clinic that he's bringing to Ukraine.
Anything else that you can let us know what, you know, we can do when we're stuck over here?
Well, the thing is, we keep saying it, but realistically, it is the donations that keep this place mm-hmm. going, because mm-hmm. We hate having to ask for money all the time, but at least we know where it's going, and we're getting it out to the front line. So realistically, from my perspective, it would be going to caninerescueinternational.org. That's caninerescueinternational.org. Mm-hmm. If any of your listeners would like to donate there, a lot of that money will probably come down with me to help Tom out down here. Failing that, or other than that, beg pardon, it will be going towards the building of this new clinic where we can release the bottleneck.
Okay.
That's where we need to go. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I will repeat that information at the end, because that's so important.
Money is what keeps the fuel in the tanks, the food in the mm-hmm. van, mm-hmm. and us delivering it. I wish we didn't have to do this, but it's the only way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had talked to you before about trying to order Ukraine flags that would increase awareness here, but also if we could buy them from Ukrainian people, then our money would be going to help them. But there was issues with, I don't know, security, or do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, let me elaborate on that just a sec. I ran into a couple of young entrepreneurs north of Kyiv a couple weeks ago, and they have a company that is on Etsy, and the name of their company is Squirrel's Bag.
Yeah.
And they produce wine leather bags that they produce in Ukraine, and the American market has been very supportive of them, and they make some beautiful products. And that's the kind of people we need to support, the people that are producing out of Ukraine, employing Ukrainians, and they have the vision for Ukraine in the future. These are young entrepreneurs that believe in their country, and I believe in them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect. Perfect. Well, I will get that word out too.
Yeah, and as far as the flags go and other items, it can be done. I do have some contacts in Lviv that I've been ordering all my graphic design items from, where we have some stickers and T-shirts made. Getting them out of the country, they need to have a shipping system, such as Squirrel's Bags does. Mm-hmm. They get free shipping, and they get it to you fairly fast. So these other smaller manufacturers of items like that need to develop that kind of relationship with the shipping company. We have met a woman that has been making these wonderful Ukrainian-colored wristbands that I will send a photograph of it to you, and I will make sure that you get one of these things. They're really quite nice, and she helps support her, I think she's an equestrian fundraiser, and I believe she has a Facebook page that I will forward off to you as well, and you can purchase these wristbands through her. There's another organization that I've just began working with, and it is a furniture making business that was moved from Kharkiv to Kyiv at the beginning of the war. And they support the military in such ways as ambulances that they've bought themselves, tactical gear, and also humanitarian aid support. They have offered me to a vehicle to drive without any cost to me, which is why I'm out of Ukraine now. And I will also forward their website, and they make some beautiful products that you can order back in America, and they will ship that to you as well.
Oh, that sounds really good. Thank you. We'll get the word out.
Yeah. Well, you've been very supportive of my progress here in Ukraine, and I really appreciate that. I do have another Indiegogo fundraising campaign going.
Oh, good.
And it's easily found, Indiegogo Tom Bates, and it'll come up. It's War Animal Care Ukraine. And again, it is money that just goes into the fuel tank primarily. I will be returning home back to Washington State in the end of August.
Okay.
I plan on returning to Ukraine in the winter when the help is going to be really needed and when there will be less help from overseas. And I just can't stay away from this place. I have developed some remarkable relationships. I've met some of the most fascinating people, and I've been taken care of, and I just have been enamored with the Ukrainian people.
Well, they're certainly in the midst of a struggle, and I know that you are right there helping.
Yeah, so, well, we're doing what we can, and I don't think I could be any place else right now.
Well, I hope to get another update from you and then maybe even get a chance to see you when you come back to Washington.
Oh, absolutely. We'll have a sit down when I get home.
Okay, that sounds great. So thank you. And thank you, Nick, too.
Yeah.
This has been wonderful.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Talking to you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Louisa. And Slava Ukraini.
Yep. Okay, so say that again. I need to learn that.
Slava?
Slava?
Ukraini.
Slava Ukraini. Okay, yeah, got it.
Glory to Ukraine.
Well, thank you for all you do. And we'll talk again. Okay.
Okay, good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
As Tom and Nick talked about, money is what is needed to keep their projects going. These are humanitarian missions, feeding animals and humans, making a difference in the lives of the people of Ukraine. One thing I like about the following pages to donate is that I know my money is going directly to helping the people and animals. There is no middleman, no bureaucracy, just people taking the money and buying food and fuel. I will list these websites on the Radio Tacoma blog. But for Tom's website, search for Indiegogo Ukrainian War Animal Care Fund. And for Nick Tad's site to build a clinic, it is K9RescueInternational.org. That's K, the letter K, the number 9, RescueInternational.org. To get to Dan Fine's GoFundMe site, search for GoFundMe Ukrainian War Animals Relief Fund and look for Dan Fine. I will try to find more ways to purchase goods directly from Ukrainian people. Right now, you can go to www.etsy.com/shop/squirrelsbags. That's SQUIRRELSBAGS. There are many beautiful leather products like wallets, purses, tote bags, backpacks, and fanny packs. The Ukrainian people are struggling in this conflict. Let's not forget them. Slava Ukraini!